Ordinarily, we would be in the midst of the NHL and the NBA playoffs. Right now, obviously, those aren't happening. Neither sport has entirely given up on the notion of finishing the playoffs, or at least having playoffs. NBA players, not all of them, but several top players had a conference call earlier this week and talked about the prospect of staging some sort of playoff this summer. The NHL has floated some ideas of playoffs. But, you know, there's even uncertainty about next season, whether they'll get that off or not. Major League Baseball looking at starting their season in early July. That is not a done deal yet, but it would feature teams playing an abbreviated schedule with no crowds. And the NFL seems to think that they'll be able to play with limited or no crowds. But I was just reading that Fox, at least for their broadcasts of NFL football, if there is a season, intends to pump in crowd noise and show virtual fans in the stands. And I don't know how I feel. No, I do know how I feel about that. I hate that idea. I absolutely hate that idea.
Yeah, the virtual fan part is what got me.
Yeah. I don't know how they would do that. I guess it would just, I mean, the easiest way to do that is to show footage of past games, right? Make it look like there are fans in the stands?
Maybe.
Pump in crowd noise.
I'm thinking of like Wii Sports where you have like the little,
I'm picturing all those people with
little
no arms
people with,
up
yeah,
around.
Just the little heads, you know,
yeah,
just bouncing up and down in the stands.
Well, here's what I don't like about it is that sports, like news, is supposed to be an actual interpretation, not an interpretation, but an actual, you know, capture of what's happening right now. It's not a facsimile thereof. You don't, you know, enhance it. It's the real deal. Now, you can use instant replay, and you can put all kinds of things with the telestrator or whatever on the screen. But the bottom line is you're looking at real time in something that's happening right now. And to enhance it with crowd noise or virtual fans, I don't like that idea at all.
No, I don't either.
I realize that the games are going to be a lot less exciting without fans. Can you imagine watching a football game with nobody in the stands? It's going to be weird. But that's part of it. I want to be able to say, yes, I remember in 2020 watching the Lions and the Bears, and it was a great game, but there was no crowd noise.
First time Detroit Lions game was kind of vacant. I remember back in the blackout days when they weren't selling tickets. So we're kind of used to that to some extent. Yeah.
Meanwhile, here in the state of Michigan, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, the Owosso barber, Carl Mankey, who was essentially ordered to shut down, he opened his business in defiance of the stay-at-home order, and he yesterday had his license revoked.
Got yanked by the state AG, taking away his license to be a barber, one of those professions in Michigan that you need some kind of state qualified license to operate, and that was taken away by AG Dana Nessel's office, and with the idea being obviously that he's operating against the governor's orders to stay home, stay safe, and that being taken away from him yesterday, but I don't think that stopped him from performing haircuts in Owosso.
The order in which this happened, he defied the orders and opened, and people from all over Michigan showed up to get haircuts. They were lined up, I'm not sure if it was around the block, but well outside waiting for their haircuts, and the next step was, was it from the attorney general or was it from a local judge?
What happened, there's a couple of things. There are some misdemeanor charges for violating local health department regulations. And then there was the director of the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services issued an immediate danger and abatement order to cease operating his barbershop. And then the Attorney General cited them for not operating within the confines of the executive order that closed non-essential personal care services. So he's kind of facing several different charges, I guess. One of those charges were thrown out by the local court there in Shiawassee mm-hmm. County. They're trying to get them, Paul. They're trying to shut them down, but so far it's had very little effect. And I think it kind of shows that there is many different opinions on the legality over this executive order,
right,
and that this really needs clarification. I think this really goes back to the whole question: is this the 1940s executive order? Is this the 1970s executive order? And does one supersede the other? Do you need to get that legislative approval that's stated in the 70s order to extend these declarations, or can you do it without legislative approval? And that kind of gets to the heart of the matter here, and I think we really need some clarification. I'm not saying that these executive orders are unconstitutional. I think there is a basis for them, but we really need guidance.
It's going to have to be decided because this is going to keep happening. Already there's another barbershop in Cadillac that has reopened, and I think pretty soon, and by the way, these stay-at-home orders may very well be extended. I hope that they're not, but in Los Angeles, maybe it's all of California, they've extended their stay-at-home order for 3 months.
Yeah, that's a little odd, especially as LA is not as hard hit as we maybe were originally thinking. LA was no New York. California as a whole, even though some of the first cases in the nation were reported in California, California has just done somewhat well. I mean, you're looking at, Michigan has more deaths than California, even though California has a much larger population. Yeah. So that was very surprising to hear that.
Well, part of the problem is as health officials are looking at, COVID-19 and the spread of it, what the governor is saying now, she has a different phrase every week that pops up a lot. And what she's been saying a lot in this last week is you're safer at home than outside of your home. And she's right. Every time you leave your house, you run the risk of being in a car accident, getting the flu, picking up some other disease, or maybe COVID-19. You are safer at home. But we can't live our lives this way. We can't live our lives at home. At some point, we need to go back to work. We need to go back to, I know it's not going to be exactly the way that it used to be, but we do need to reopen some things. So
there's been kind of a change in messaging from her office. And, oh, by the way, Paul, we are looking at getting the governor on next week. We've having some preliminary discussions about that. So we might hear from her yet.
All right.
There's been a change in messaging that you just alluded to, and that is that this is not being called a stay-at-home order anymore. It was called Stay Home, Stay Safe.
Yeah.
Now it's called Safer at Home. And mm-hmm. slowly that messaging has evolved over the past couple of weeks.
Interesting. Well, I mean, the issue here is, does the governor have the authority to issue emergency orders if the state legislature has not granted her that power? And they have not. They did it early on, but those powers have since expired. She doesn't have the consent of the legislature to make these emergency orders. And you're right, Caleb, it is going to have to be clarified at some point. Otherwise, people are just going to continue to disobey these orders, and they're going to open up and they're going to do things their way. And then the governor becomes completely powerless at that point.
Right. Exactly. It's very tricky there. And it really comes down to these. You have that 40s law and that 70s law. Does the more recent law supersede the older one, or does it not? The more recent law asks the legislature for the extension. So we definitely need clarification on that for sure. And turning to the courts and kind of speaking about that. And that's where this is really going to play out yesterday. And we're going to talk more about this in the next hour too. But yesterday, a really big thing that would have been, I think, a bigger story if not for COVID-19 is that the charges against Luana K. Simon were dropped by a judge in Eaton County yesterday. Kind of as this was kind of like the last thing about the whole Larry Nassar scandal and trial and everything. These are kind of the last remnants of it playing out in court, with the judge deciding that there was not enough evidence to suggest that Luana K. Simon knowingly lied to a police officer when questioned about Nassar a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's that was interesting to see that yesterday.
There's a couple things playing out, and I've covered some stuff with interviewed Luana K. Simon several years, actually before the whole Nassar thing really hit the fan, if you will. And there has been a growing, before Larry Nassar, there's been a growing, let's say, student activists on campus calling for the president to resign. There were some race issues on campus, and that was there was a large protest when the whole Black Lives Matter movement was a big deal back in late 2015. And there was they were calling for her head, Paul. This isn't the first time Luana K. Simon's been put in the spotlight. And after the Nassar thing, again, calling for her head, being the head of the university, of course, I guess ultimately you are in charge of everyone below you. But really, the evidence seems to suggest that that she was sought more or less as a figurehead to make maybe an example out of her and to show to maybe even play politics. The whole thing with Bill Schuette running for governor, trying to charge the president of MSU because that was the big political issue of the day, and he wanted to look like he was doing something. So there's allegations that the whole thing with Simon was sought mainly for political reasons, and as the judge is saying now, that there really was no evidence to suggest that she knew or lied to police about Larry Nassar. So it's a big revelation, yeah. And it's good to see this finally come to a conclusion. And unfortunately, I think torches and pitchforks are quick to rise up and call someone out. But you really, just because popular opinion or conventional wisdom suggests that someone maybe is guilty doesn't necessarily mean they're guilty until they have their day in court. And this is a judge saying that there's just not enough evidence there for Luana K. Simon to be charged with anything. So those are dropped. And this is kind of the last, this marks the end, Paul, of the Larry Nassar era at MSU, I believe.
May very well be. We'll talk more about that with Lansing area attorney Mike Nichols coming up in the 7 o'clock hour here on WPHM.